for now, let's talk about this recent news of a hack at the Canada Revenue Agency. I am getting some text messages from people that were a victim of that hack. Well, if you were a victim, does it make you more vulnerable to other cyber attacks? Joining me on the line is Steve Waterhouse, former IT security officer at the Department of National Defense and a lecturer at Université de Sherbrooke. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. And I got a text message from one of our listeners, Michael, in Old Montreal, and says he was a victim of the breach with the CRA, called them to find out what to do, and they said, just wait, we're going to send you a letter. So what was your reaction, Steve, when you heard about this breach involving anywhere from 5,000 to 11,000 people?
Well, it is unfortunate, and it is also not very surprising, as technology is quite complex nowadays, that you will find systems not being patched enough or just not tweaked enough to have the best security in place. Now, in this case with the CRA, a credential stuffing attack, which is the type of attack the pirates use, the hackers use, in order to get access to the information and make the fraud with the CREB, is a type of attack. There's some other measures that should have been in place to prevent automations, like they're called bots in the technical terms, to be able to retry systematically known compromised passwords from previous hacks of the various sites on the internet, as we know that it happens almost every week, and try systematically gain access to the CRA's information systems. And this, by doing so, they were able to change the banking information and be able to ask for a CREB compensation without the citizen's knowledge, and then flow the money back to their bank account they just inputted into the file.
So, Steve, when I talked about this yesterday on the program, you know, I sort of said, you know, really, let's not call this a hack when they were just using passwords that are already out there, right? You know, like it's not necessarily, you know, a mastermind who can say, oh, wow, this person uses this password for some low-level account. Maybe they're reusing the same password. They enter in the same credentials. Boom, it works, right?
Well, the hack, in fact, happened when they were able to figure out how the CRA is creating usernames. Uh-huh. And the hack happened also when they programmed this automation to systematically try this access. And there's also from three attacks they divulged, a second one was also the exploitation of a vulnerability inside of the code of the CRA's authentication system, which is CLIA GC key, which reminded me about the one that happened in 2017, which no information was spilled whatsoever, but the systems were brought down for 4 days until they completed the patching, and then the restoration came back online. But that goes to say that system is so complex that, yes, if they are not on top of it almost on a daily basis, it doesn't take much to be compromised.
I want to go back to that first thing you just said about the usernames. Yes. So what was the system in place? What did they figure out when it came to the usernames?
They were able to figure out how the usernames are written, because normally you will have your first name initial and your last name and then a few numbers at the end. Yeah. And then they got from a whole bunch of information on the outside, like I said, previously compromised information from somewhere else on the internet, and they were able to figure out with the email address what was the name of the person that's in the account right now.
Wow.
On CRA, and then mix those two. So that took reflective power upon their mind to get to figure this one out, but they were able to use it and then got access. And now, fortunately, the system is back online as we're speaking today, as promised, but they've added another complexity. They've added another step to prevent automations to systematically try getting access to the system, which is called a CAPTCHA, which is please figure out, click on other trucks, bridges, you know,
yes,
these little images we see, and that prevents automations from doing these type of credential stuffing attacks.
And that's the other part of this, right, is that, okay, fine, if they had figured out how to deduce the username via the emails, that's one thing, but the fact that an automation allowed them to do it on a massive scale so quickly, that's the other big problem here, right, that they didn't have a system in place there. So the CAPTCHA, that whatever it is, you know, whether it's the images or filling in the letters, the squiggly letters when you go to a certain website and they make us type in the squiggly letters. That's
exactly
what we're talking about with the CAPTCHA. Okay.
Exactly. But one thing though, given the proportionality of the number of users using QGC, which is about 12 or 13 million, we can say 11,000 or so is not much. Mm-hmm. We can testify to the numbers of that. But still, people getting, again, hammered after so many breaches in the last 2 years, just the last 2 years, is, again, and one too many that happen, and one is, again, the citizen is left with the burden of mm-hmm. always constantly being on their edge, double-checking everything happening in their bank account and statements of whatsoever, because they will, in time, be the one accountable for it.
So very true, Steve, and I'm totally on board, you know, with what you say. But I do want to put some of the blame. We're with Steve Waterhouse, by the way, former IT security officer at the Department of National Defense. Steve, so I do want to put a little bit of the blame on the users that continue to reuse their passwords everywhere, because that was another component of this. If people weren't reusing their passwords, that the methods they use still wouldn't have worked.
Exactly, and this is how they just took that information from previously leaked site or information that got compromised, and yes, based on that fact that people reuse the same password in the many accounts, they just tried systematically using that other password, saying, oh, probably it will work, and then, bam, they were in. So if people want to get themselves protected more, yes, it is that task you have to do in putting one password per account that will mm-hmm. save you a lot of headaches. But again, it's that challenge nowadays to either assign these into a little black book that you keep with you, or use a password manager. This is the tool of 21st century to make some clarity out of that complexity.
Can I ask you, what is Steve Waterhouse's rule of thumb when it comes to passwords? What methods are you using?
I'm only using one password that I remember, is the one from my vault, and I got I've passed the 400 marks right now of 400 accounts that I have, and all of them are scrambled, completely random passwords that I don't know anything about them except the one that I have for accessing my vault. So when I get that to access to a certain site, I just copy and paste that password. Bam, that's the end of it. I have to change it. I just randomly generate another one, commit it to my vault, and then this is how I am sleeping sound at night.
Are you using one of these like password managers or something?
Yes,
built into an operating system?
No, never use the one in the operating system or the web browsers, because they're not as rugged as the commercial ones, like 1Password, which is a product from Toronto, mm-hmm. and Agile, but the company. And I've been using this one for 6 years, and I have only praises for it. Not too many technical difficulties, good support, etc. So you have the different examples you can look at with the PCMag 2020 Password Manager Review, and you'll get a good idea what's on the market right now. And for that reason, it is also a good way to understand if your password or your accounts got compromised on some site somewhere, because these companies will do research and let you know through this software if it is time to change that password because it got compromised somewhere else.
I got a really good question here on the text line about why not use two-factor authentication.
There
so
you
I get
go.
That's when you get a text message, let's say on your phone, to verify who you are. Sometimes it's not necessarily via text message; it could be through an email or other method. What about that, Steve? What about two-factor authentication?
That is the next step the government or any companies using authentication should go, because this is what I call a dynamic password. It's not valid for a very long period of time, so it eliminates the possibility of password compromission. And multi-factor authentication, like you just described, is a two-factor one, is certainly the way to go. But from the government's perspective, or any company, in order to get access to everyone, have access to their platform, that is to say, not everyone has, let's say, a smartphone, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So would it be to those who don't have a smartphone have a physical token that generates that password every 30, 60 seconds? That might be one solution. Or to the masses, yes, having the smartphone with that special application that is tied to the platform itself, that is absolutely one way to go. And Microsoft went this way recently, a couple of years ago. It works really nice. And before that, 20 years ago, I was using a platform from RSA, which is a security company in the States, that were emitting those little cards and tokens, physical tokens, that you had, this little screen with six digits that randomly...
I had that at my last job. I had the exact thing you're talking about from RSA. I had this little dongle that I carried around.
There you go.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Any last advice here, Steve, for someone who fears that their account was hacked?
definitely be expecting that letter in the mailbox, really the physical mailbox. The old post office will deliver that mail to that the letter to you with instructions to follow, and be advised that certainly and surely you will have scammers trying to get access to you via text, email, or a phone call pretending to be from the CRA to help you in your burden and so on. So just hang up and call the CRA's number listed under the Canada.ca site, and you will be able to talk with an agent, and they'll be able to help you out. But please be wary about those scammers that will be around for a while.
Be vigilant. Be vigilant of anyone who calls you and wants something from you.
Or offers you the ultimate solution.
Yeah. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Have a nice day.
That's Steve Waterhouse, former IT security officer at the Department of National Defense, currently a lecturer at the Université de Sherbrooke.